On today's episode, the boys will talk Hills West hoops, boys and girls. They'll discuss the NFL slate this week, MLB offseason, topic of the week, and a lot more. Let's do it. And we're back for our weekly spot of the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Satuco alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Mikey Stats. We've got a nice podcast for you guys today. Let's start off with Hills West Hoops. Boys off to a great start and led by a few players.
Yeah, I mean, improved to 4-0 with a win this past Tuesday against Rocky Point. 85-50. Really was never close. You got our boy Jalen, who we interviewed last week. He had 20 points in that game. He's averaging 17.3 per game so far this season. You got Cedric Gordon, a guy we love talking about on the football field, putting up 19 points. Jelani with 11 points. And the team's really looking great so far. That was their fourth win to start the season, like I said, after wins against Millennium at East Meadow, at Smithtown East, and home against Rocky Point. Their next game tomorrow night, 5:45 at Kings Park. And we're shooting to broadcast that December 18th game, home against West Babylon at 4 o'clock. Should be a good one, and Colts are looking really good to start.
Yeah, totally. Some guys stepping up on that Colts basketball team. Cedric Gordon, surprising, coming into this school, now playing football and then basketball, two-sport guy, and putting up points on that stat sheet. So it's good to see Colts get off to a good start.
Yeah, it's great to see, and they're not the only team off to a good start. The girls' basketball team has been playing some great basketball lately. They won their last game 53-22 to advance to a record of 2-2, but they are better than their record. Their marginal loss so far this season, both in their two combined losses, they've only lost by 7 points. So it's been close games in their losses and blowouts in their wins. Some top scorers in this game: Kayla Robertson put up 14 points, Alexa Hinkie 12, Emily Ross 10, Danny Alper 8. Just good. Great game all around. Everyone contributed. Another good win for the Lady Colts.
Yeah, I know they play tomorrow, so come out, support them at home. I got to give a little shout-out to Danny Alper, friend of the program, letting us know, and wants support for the Hills West girls basketball team. So we'll get out there, cover those games, and I'm excited to see how the season turns out.
Well, it's definitely great to see that they're continuing this legacy after last year, and Kayla Robertson really stepping up now, being that leader on the team. It's amazing to see how they're really pulling through and keeping that momentum right into this year.
Yeah, some great athletes on that team.
Yeah, if you want some quotes or further intel on both squads, check out the winter print, which will be coming out next week, right before the holiday break. Ben and I have an article in there, and the cover photo will be good if you love sports. Should be a great issue talking about Hills West sports. Nice preview. I spoke about it last week: wrestling, swimming, fencing, and both basketball. So check that out next week. So school sports off to a great start. Love to see that in the winter season. Let's talk NFL. An interesting week here. We've got a couple really good games on the schedule, and it starts tonight with a divisional matchup: Chiefs and the LA Chargers. And this one could be another, maybe one of the best games of the NFL season up to this point. So what are you expecting tonight?
Yeah, definitely one of the best games on the schedule when you look at it. We got the 10-3 Chargers, who have been playing amazing football lately, against the 11-2 Chiefs, who have been in contention for the best team in the NFL all season long. They're now tied with the best record in the NFL after the Rams lost. And we know what these two offenses can do. Neither team has a really bad defense, but I think both these offenses could score it well. Take the over in this game, honestly. It's going to be, I think, like that Rams-Chiefs game that we had on Monday night earlier in this season. I actually do think that the Chargers are going to pull out a win. I think they're too strong on both sides of the ball. I think their defense will get the edge, but it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. They haven't played since week one, where the Chiefs took a 38-28 win on the road in L.A. Not really a road game when you're going to play the Chargers, but
very factual.
Just to say, I mean, AFC West, I mean, what more can you say about this one? Primetime, under the lights, couldn't have more implications going into the postseason. It's what you like to see this late in the season. And you're really seeing two of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in the NFL this season. Mahomes, 4,300 yards, 43 touchdowns, just unreal year for him. You got Phillip Rivers, 29 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions this year, been extremely accurate. And I'm really excited to see all the talent on that field tonight. And definitely should be a good one. It is of note, though, that Melvin Gordon will most likely not be playing for the Chargers.
Austin Eckler,
and Austin
out,
Eckler's
as well.
Out as well. So look for Justin Jackson to star there. And for the Chiefs, Spencer Ware's in doubt tonight too. So for Damian Williams to step up in that backfield. But a couple guys you may not know coming into tonight.
And another storyline in that game is someone that's probably going to play. He's trending toward playing at least. Tyreek Hill, one of the best receivers in the NFL this season. The Cheetah, we all know how much I love him. But yeah, he's injured. He's banged up. He's got a hurt wrist and a bum ankle this week. So it's gonna be interesting to see how he's gonna deal with these injuries. Going against Casey Hayward, he's gonna be matched up against, which he plays twice a year. He knows those two guys know each other very well. But I think it's gonna be very interesting to see how that's actually gonna play out for him.
Yeah, so it should be. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, Spencer Ware is officially out for tonight. They officially announced that Spencer Ware is not going to be playing today. So getting that a little bit of info because I couldn't find any statistics for this game.
There we go.
Like stats.
So we should be expecting a wonderful Thursday night game, which will lead us into an interesting week in the NFL. Saturday games are back.
Yeah, and one of them I'm going to love to watch. I know that.
Jets-Houston at MetLife Stadium.
Or I'm going to love the idea of watching. I'm not going to actually like to watch the Jets get absolutely killed by the Houston Texans.
You know what? Good win by the Jets last week against the tough Bills team.
Man, you can go tough Bills team? Really, Doug? Come on.
Sorry, I'm just trying to make you feel a little bit
better.
Right.
It's a good win.
I understand. No, it is a good win.
It's a good win.
It's absolutely a good win.
You lose six games in a row. They haven't won in 2 months.
And I was psyched to see Darnold lead a game-winning drive.
By the way, supposedly that team was celebrating like it won the Super Bowl in the locker room after the game. So, I mean, credit to the Jets. Darnold obviously making plays all over the field. Got the emergence of my boy Elijah McGuire. May not be a name a lot of you know, but he's stepping up to that backfield. Could be a nice little compliment to Le'Veon Bell next year. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I would not mind that.
I mean, you got to love the Saturday schedule.
But this week's a little tough.
Yeah, so solid win for Green Gang last week.
Right.
And it's great.
I don't know how that's going to trend into Houston, though. That's a good
one. No, I don't think it will.
Exactly.
Houston coming off a loss, too. I mean, we said they were due for one last week, and they did get nicked up by the Colts a little bit, but... they'll be back this week in the Meadowlands, and I'm expecting the Texans to win.
Yeah, but it's also great when you can cuddle up on your couch and watch a game on Saturday night.
Saturday night. You got
Cleveland-Denver. Really not that bad of a game. Two teams under 500.
Quietly still in the hunt.
Exactly.
I was going to say that. Quietly still in the hunt. Both these teams have been playing great football lately.
And any game with Baker Mayfield playing, I'm probably watching because he's really special. Something electric about him, you know. He's an icon. In himself, you know,
he's
his first year in the league, and people already love him. So, I mean, great player and great to watch.
Yeah, interesting little fact about this game. Cleveland has not beaten Denver in their last 11 tries.
Wow. And it's in Cleveland, Denver.
Cleveland hasn't beaten Denver since October of 1990, and it was only a one-point victory. That stat, it is what it is. Could be a meaningless number. I mean, obviously two different teams, but I think it speaks volume about how the Broncos have been throughout the years and how the Cleveland Browns have been throughout the years. Not great, but obviously Baker turned the corner.
Yeah, and it's absolutely great for the Browns because last year they were definitely one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team in the league. And it seems like Baker Mayfield's really, he's been the spark for this team, and he's the reason why they're actually doing well this year. And you got to love to see that one guy being able to rally the troops and getting them in shape.
Absolutely, but I do not think he's going to be able to pull it off in this game. The Broncos are playing great football right now, and the Broncos have the seventh best rushing attack right now. I'm looking at the stats in the entire NFL. And that Browns defense, you could say what you want about Baker Mayfield and that offense, but that Browns defense, 31st in the NFL, they're not coming in too strong.
So Garrett's got
to
pick it up.
I'm going to like the Broncos to exploit that matchup.
Yeah, another game downplayed a little bit because Green Bay struggles, but they had a good win last week. What do you guys think about Green Bay moving forward? Is it just a lost season? Will they try to win games? I don't really know. They have Aaron Rodgers. It's tough.
I mean, when you have Rodgers, you're in it to win any game. I mean, obviously the season's a lost season, like you said. I mean, there's no hope. I mean, unless they need a lot of things to work out for them for something miraculous to happen to finish at 8-7-1 and sneak in. I mean, I just don't see it. The Bears have been playing some great football, obviously, with that win over LA last week. But the Packers are a mess this year. It is what it is. They fired Mike McCarthy. He'll get a job somewhere else. I mean, I think he kind of outstayed his time there. I don't know. But
maybe. You never know.
You never know. But, Matt Nagy for the Bears. He's had an excellent year.
And he could be coach of the year.
Definitely could be coach of the year. I mean, no one expected the Bears to run away with the NFC North Division, which is what they're doing right now. So I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing from the Bears. Packers, I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers. You bounce back next year, but kind of a lost year for them, like you said, Doug.
Go ahead.
Okay, so their all-time head-to-head record, the Packers are actually up 96-93, which is that's a lot of games.
That's one of the greatest rivalries in sports.
That's very close. Yeah, that's why I said it was downplayed a bit. It is a divisional game, division matchup, huge rivalry, but obviously with the Packers pretty much out of playoff contention, it's not as huge of a game, but the rivalry is still there.
Interesting take here. I like the Packers in this one. I think Aaron Rodgers plays his best football against the Bears, and he does so no matter the weather. He's a cool football quarterback. He's okay going to Chicago. He's not like Jared Goff. I think they're going to show him up a bit, and I think the Bears are playing great football, like you said, Ben, and I think that I know they're going to run away with this division, like you said. But I just think the Packers are playing for a lot right now. They still have a little bit of hope, and if you give Aaron Rodgers a little bit of hope, I think he's going to take advantage of that. To some extent, he's still not going to be able to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get the help that they need, but I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That sixth team in the NFC is not going to have a very good record. If the Packers somehow beat the Bears on the road this weekend, they do have the Jets and then the Lions at home. So those are two winnable games right there. You never know what could happen. December proves craziness for the NFL with playoff scenarios all the time.
So let's move to a team that's in the AFC South. That has pretty much been on this podcast almost every week since Andrew Luck has figured it out, and that's the Colts. And they've got another great game this week against Dallas. Both teams in desperation mode. Dallas probably going to win that their division. But Indianapolis is looking for a playoff spot in that wild card, and both teams are pretty stellar, have a lot of skill on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, both teams got off to slow starts this season, and both teams hit hot streaks midseason, and both teams seem to be peaking right now. The Colts are playing great football. They just beat the Texans, who are on a 9-game win streak. And the Cowboys, what can you say about them? They look like one of the best teams in the NFL. They're very scary. I said it on the podcast last week. I think they're going to, and I'm going to stick by it, though. I think they're going to let down their fans in the playoffs.
Probably.
Or closer to the playoffs, like they usually do. But right now they look better than they did when they went 13-3 a few years ago. So I'm liking the Cowboys in this one, actually.
Yeah, the Cowboys just had to shore up that offensive line. They had a few injuries. One guy, was it Frederick? He was out with the
some rare disease.
Yeah, some really rare. So they had to figure out a few holes on that offensive line. Had to gel a little bit.
They're coming.
And
together
they figured
now,
it out. Dude, Zeke is scary.
Zeke has been outstanding. I mean, he's going for the rushing title again this year. I mean, if I said that to you after week 3 or 4 with the way the Cowboys were playing, you may have been looking at me like I was crazy, but Cowboys really coming together, 8-5, Colts 7-6. Doug, we talked about it before on the Fantasy Football Breakdown. Check that out. This game, we really don't know what kind of style.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Could be, these are two defenses that have played very well at certain points in the season, but there are also two defenses who haven't played well. For an example, when the Colts got lit up by the Jets at MetLife. So you don't know which teams you're going to see coming out on Sunday, but I think overall it'll be a pretty competitive game.
I think Amari Cooper's the game changer in this one. The guy's been electric, well worth that first round pick that Jerry Jones gave up. He's been the spark that Cowboys offense has needed, and he's got it done. So Cowboys Colts this week should be a really interesting matchup on the schedule. Let's go to a miracle. The Miami Miracle going up against Minnesota. Minnesota disappointing. We talk about it every week on the podcast. It's just Kirk Cousins has not got it done.
It's a fraud.
But the Miami Miracle, I said it on the Fantasy Football Breakdown, one of the sickest things that I've ever seen in my
Absolutely.
Sports watching.
Even I heard about it.
In my sports watching something. Career. So it's almost impossible. And you know what's sick? 5 years ago, I think a few days after, I saw it on the NFL, one of their accounts, the throwback. The Steelers almost had a miracle. Antonio Brown stepped out of bounds at the 13-yard line in a snowy Pittsburgh field.
He would have been in,
almost,
too.
I know he would. Almost took it back. I just remember that game and being like, can you believe that? Imagine that goes all the way, and now the Miami Dolphins, 5 years later, are able to go to work, beat the Patriots. Gronk stumbling over his own feet at the 5-yard line, can't make the tackle.
Sickest thing I've ever seen. A bonehead move by Coach Belichick, too, putting Gronk in on that play. They're not throwing a Hail Mary from 70 yards out.
I agree. But, Doug, what I was going to say is I heard from Barstool's Part of My Take, great podcast, they brought it up. They said that how many times do you see that type of play? What, 50 times a year? How many times does it run successfully? Zero.
Zero.
You never see it work out. So it's almost like a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
You know what? It almost happened twice in 1 week. The Steelers almost pulled it off with Juju down the left side.
Also,
they did.
I don't know if you remember that play in Atlanta earlier this year. Tampa had the ball. I think it was DeSean Jackson. If the pitch would have worked out, they would have been in the end zone for the game winner. But
a hit in this one, yeah. And which brings them to this week's matchup with a 7-6 record. The Miami Dolphins are now in. They're firmly in the playoff contention right now. They're neck and neck with all these 7-6 AFC teams, which is interesting because they have the 29th best offense, the 29th best defense, and they're not doing anything this
season. They're not good.
To say that they're a good team.
You know what?
But
they're finding ways to win.
That's what I was going to say. Ugly. But they're 7-6. They're somehow 7-6, and they have a better record than the Minnesota Vikings, who are full of all these playmakers, these studs, one of the best teams in the league last year, an NFC champion runner-up last season. And now the Minnesota Vikings are struggling, and the Dolphins are finding ways to get it done. So this is a very interesting matchup when you look at it. The Vikings have that great defense, and the Dolphins really don't have anything great about them, but they just play good football, and they win some games. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, the Dolphins have two things going for them. One, they play in the AFC East. They play the Jets twice, the Bills twice. And two, they own the Patriots in Miami.
Absolutely.
So if you can beat the Patriots, I don't know. So you got something magical about your squad. Miami figures it out, and the Steelers haven't against New England in their recent history. Tom Brady has been outstanding. I don't even know the stats. I saw one before, but I don't really remember it, but he was outstanding in that stat. He's been incredible going up against the Steelers, and I don't see it changing this week. I think this is going to be a down-to-the-wire like it always is. Jesse James drops it on the one type of game.
Not drops it. Bad call.
It would have been a touchdown. Yeah, exactly. And then Big Ben throwing a pick on the 1 yard line, like he does quite a bit. I don't know what that is, but should be a great game.
The yips around their one, but
that's true.
About the Steelers and the Patriots, Doug. The Steelers have lost 5 in a row to the Pats, including obviously that loss last year that you're talking about. Cost Pittsburgh the number one seed. Really changed the whole dynamic of the playoffs. And I don't know. I really don't know what to think of them, Doug. I mean, coming off of losses to the Chargers. Obviously, the Chargers are a great team at home. Not the end of the world. In Denver, it's a tough loss. And in Oakland last week.
You can't lose to Oakland. You just can't lose that game. That's embarrassing. And you know what? It's on Mike Tomlin at this point. Obviously, the players aren't doing well. But when the Steelers play under 500 teams, I believe that they're one game over 500 in those matchups. That's what I heard on a talk show. But like that you're not getting your players ready. Mike Tomlin's not getting these guys ready. They play down to their competition, and they don't know how to win the big games. They show up against decent teams, pretty solid teams, but you got to win games against Oakland and Oakland. You can't lose those. And I think Keith Butler, not a great defensive coordinator, doesn't know how to adjust, can't go into the halftime locker room, doesn't figure it out, and Tomlin might be done.
Could be, but
here's the thing with the Steelers.
I know what you're gonna say. You
don't know what I'm gonna say here because if you take away a miraculous game, a miraculous comeback against the Jacksonville Jaguars a few weeks ago, they're on a 4-game losing streak right now, and that 4-game losing streak would put them out of the playoffs right now. So this is not a good Steelers team. I think I just don't think that they have it this year. I think they miss Le'Veon Bell. I think Tomlin's not a great coach anymore. Whatever it is, maybe he's past his time the same way Mike McCarthy was too. I don't know. I just don't think that they have it anymore. I don't love Big Ben as much. He turns the ball over a lot. He makes some great plays, but he turns it over a lot. He leaves his team in bad spots. He doesn't put them in the best spots anymore. I just don't think that they have it this season. I don't know. We'd be talking about them not being in play. They're only a half game up on the Ravens right now. It's a good thing they beat them twice. Yeah, but it's a tough situation for them right now.
You look at their schedule and you're like, uh-oh, like Steelers could be in trouble.
Yeah.
You got the Patriots at home. That's a must-win game. I don't care what it is. If you have any aspirations to make the playoffs, you got to beat the Pats at home because you're not winning in New Orleans next week. And
well,
I don't think you're winning in New
Orleans. If you beat the Patriots, you got a shot.
We'll see.
You got to get on a roll going into the playoffs.
I don't like to look ahead and like compare.
Steelers better not be looking ahead.
Well, no. Steelers definitely aren't looking.
This one's tough. It's a tough 2 weeks.
Steelers are looking ahead. Mike Tomlin needs to be out of there.
Then you close it out with Cincy at home. Should be a relatively easy win with Jeff Driscoll at quarterback, Dalton out. But you never know.
You never know. They just lost to the Raiders. The Raiders have 3 wins this season. So you never know. The Steelers are really reeling right now. It's bad.
Yeah, the thing with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, they like consistency at that head coach position. So I don't know if Mike Tomlin's really out the door yet. He gets a lot of leeway, and if Mike McCarthy, a 2-time Super Bowl champ, in
Green Bay. One time.
Sorry. One-time Super Bowl champion Green Bay. Had a great history there. Is fired this year. Mike Tomlin can't be – he's got to be let off the leash eventually. You know, he can't keep making excuses for this guy. I understand he has done some great things for the Steelers, but not a great clock manager, not great in-game, and doesn't get the team going. And they're going to have to make some changes, yeah. Maybe the defensive coordinator as well, Keith Butler.
Doug, two other recent examples of that. In other sports in the NHL, Barry Trotz wins the Stanley Cup. Caps don't bring him back. In the MLB a few years back, Joe Girardi brings a surprise Yankees team all the way to the ALCS Game 7. And they don't bring him back either. So just saying, it's sports. It's a business. And you never know.
Yeah, the thing is with Mike Tomlin is we just talked about it before. The Steelers better not be looking ahead. Well, they've been looking ahead for 4 weeks straight now,
yep.
When they thought they were in the playoffs. Because this really could be a four-game losing streak with two losses, to the one being to the Jaguars and one being to the Raiders. Those are maybe the two worst teams in the AFC, aside from the Jets, of course. but I think Mike Tomlin, if they don't get it together, if they don't win a playoff game this year, I think he needs to be out. That's the expectation with a roster as talented as this one.
Yeah, Steelers still first in that AFC North. Baltimore on their tails. Going into this week, let's talk Monday night. Another division game, New Orleans, Carolina, Cam Newton must win for the Panthers. They have a home advantage here going up against the Saints. I don't know how this one's going to turn out. I'm thinking Cam Newton's going to have a big game, and if he does, they got a shot.
Well, something hasn't been right with Carolina ever since they took that pounding in Heinz Field. I mean, they lost, what was the score, 52 to... 52-21.
Yep.
You lose to the Lions the next week. You lose to the Seahawks at home. You lose to the Bucks, and then you lose to the Browns. So, I mean, the Steelers really, obviously, like we just talked about, not playing great football right now, but they pretty much ruined the Panthers season too. I mean, they haven't played good football since that game, and they're in desperate need here. So that, like we said about that 6 team, we keep on saying it. 6-7 right now. You may only need 8 or 9 wins to get in the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah, the problem with the Panthers though is they play the Saints in this game. Obviously, that's a tough game. A tough game against maybe the best team in the NFL, and then they play the Saints again in New Orleans. That, and you can count that one as a loss. So this is an absolute must-win game. They're not going to win out for the season. They're going to have to hope to get in with having to lose that game in New Orleans. So they're going to definitely need to win this one. I think they can. I think Cam Newton is an excellent quarterback. If he could play to his caliber, if he runs the ball more, he's down over the last 5 or so weeks. He's had 15 less rushing yards per game than until week 9. That's an interesting stat with him. So he's not running the ball as much, and that really is what drives their offense. They don't like to rely on Christian McCaffrey like they have been lately. They like to have their offense run through Cam. So if they could do that, I think they got a shot here.
Well, the NFL should be ashamed of themselves for scheduling the Saints Panthers 2 out of the last 3 weeks of the season. It's just embarrassing. This completes about the schedule every year. But to have Saints Panthers 2 times in the last 3 weeks when you know both teams are going to be fighting for the playoff spot, I mean, I guess it could be good in some circumstances, but week 15 and week 17 for those only matchups, I just don't agree with that.
I agree.
Yeah. So going to need Cam Newton to have a career night against the Saints. Maybe the Saints looking ahead. Never know. Steelers next week. We'll check in on that, see what's going on Monday night. Could be a great, great game to tune into. Let's talk a little bit MLB offseason. A lot of news, winter meetings this week. Been tuning into MLB Network a lot.
Me too.
At night, late night. You got MLB Tonight on. They've got a great setup there. A couple good segments on that show. Talking MLB 24/7. That's what we love here, the little triangle. Sometimes Brian's into the MLB talk, mostly the Mets.
Mostly the Mets. I don't know much else.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
I wanted to just start off right away by saying we got to acknowledge the passing of Luis Valbuena and Jose Castillo last week, dying in a car accident. It turns out that they were being chased by two guys who were trying to rob them, and just a high-speed chase, and they ended up flipping their car over, both of them tragically dying. Luis Valbuena, I believe, was only 37. Jose Castillo was a little bit old. Actually, I think Castillo might have been 37. I don't know. But they're still very young. They had a lot of life to live. Both of them were very good MLB players, and they're going to be missed. Oh, Valbuena was 33. Castillo was 37. So they're going to be missed. It's definitely Valbuena was a great power bat. You could throw him off the bench, and that's tragic. It seems like every MLB offseason we have someone dying, and it's really terrible to watch.
Yep, tragic loss.
Rip.
And then just something that also happened in the last week. I'm kind of just going periodically since last Thursday. We had Bryce Harper is most likely not going to be re-signed by the Nationals. So let's talk about Harper a little bit. I honestly think that the Dodgers are going to end up getting him. I know that you guys think that the Yankees are going to, but I think honestly, with the Yankees now saying that they're out on Harper, obviously that doesn't mean for good, but I think the Dodgers are going to go for him. They really have that need in their outfield, and I don't think the Dodgers are going to go to get Machado back because they have Corey Seager coming back this year. So I really don't think that Machado's going back there, and I think that definitely it's a very interesting market for Bryce Harper.
Well, Mike, Cashman never has an open hand. You never know what he's thinking. You never know what he's going to do. He said he didn't say the Yankees were out on Harper, but he said he was surprised that they were kept on asking questions. And then yesterday, Scott Boras is like, I didn't hear any of that. He's Bryce Harper's agent. The guy's like an icon in the baseball world.
Yep.
And Cashman's quote last night, the Yankees are a fully operational Death Star, basically meaning things could change from day to day. We'll see what happens. I want the Yankees to sign Harper. I think he ends up with the White Sox, and I think the Yanks make a big push for Machado when it's all said and done.
Yeah, multiple times this offseason, I've been extremely frustrated with Cashman, with what the Yankees have done. But you know, at the end of the day, this guy knows exactly what he's doing. Cashman knows exactly what his plan is for this offseason. He has his schedule. He knows who he's going after. And we have no idea. When we don't have an idea of what he's trying to do, I mean, it just makes it even better. Who saw the Castro trade? Nobody. Who saw the Stanton trade? Nobody. It just happens. This guy Cashman is magical. He signs back Hap on a team-friendly two-year deal with an option for the third based on innings pitched and starts. I mean, it doesn't get better than that for as your fourth starter. I mean, the option, $17 million in 2021. It's pretty sick to talk about 2021, though, you know?
Well, yeah, if he pitches 165 innings or 27 starts in 2020, I mean, that's a team-friendly deal for a 38-year-old guy. That basically means if he's pitching well, he'll be back in Yankees pinstripes.
So if he's productive, he's pitching a third year. So it's an absolutely brilliant deal by Cashman, and Cashman we trust. And let's see if we get Harper. Let's see if we get Machado. I think the Yankees have more of a need in the infield with Machado and maybe moving in Duhar for another starting pitcher. Or maybe if you really want to go after an outfielder, you can with that. I would say either bullpen, star bullpen, or starting pitcher, like a legit starting pitcher, maybe like Kluber or something like that. But Miguel and Duhar could be on the move, and that kind of hurts.
Maybe Bumgarner? You never know.
Mike, you never know.
I think the Yankees, if they end up trading Andujar, wherever he ends up going, I think that definitely will lead to a Machado signing and probably a Neil Walker re-signing. I know who you really want him.
I do like Walker. If they
trade Andujar, that opens up the left side of the infield. Then you can sign Machado to play third. You throw Gleyber at short, and then you sign Neil Walker to a one-year contract to play second base while Didi's out. And I think that's just a really smart move for the Yankees to do. I think that's a good business deal. But I think in terms of Andujar and them being so willing to give him up, I think it might be a little bit stupid, but I think it definitely – you've got to kind of weigh the options. You've got Manny Machado, you're going to be signing for a boatload of money, and you've got Miguel Andujar, who can do really well. You've got to pick your poison, but they can definitely get a lot back for Andujar. They can probably include him in a trade for Corey Kluber,
Agreed. Who
seems to be very willing to give away their guys.
Imagine that rotation.
That'd be unreal.
That would be unreal. If they got that, I'd sad to say I think the Yankees lock up the World Series. But the Indians have been so willing to throw away their players. They traded Edwin Encarnacion today, and I think it might be a very interesting thing to see how that ends up playing out.
Well, Mike, let me know what you think here. Infield market. God, this guy hasn't really been talked about a lot throughout the winter meetings. Daniel Murphy. What do you think about him? I think that'd be a great signing for the Yanks.
I love Daniel Murphy.
For a lot cheaper than Manny Machado and could go after pitching and stuff.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Daniel Murphy was the best player in that Nationals team.
Yep.
He was.
You look at the numbers. Look at anything you want. He's much better than Bryce Harper, in my opinion. He's not going to get the money Bryce Harper's going to get, though. But I love Daniel Murphy. I think any team should go on.
The second base market this year is pretty legit.
It is.
There are at least four or five guys that are
you look at the whole
top of the lineup.
Because you can look at Daniel Murphy. You can look at some other second baseman. And then you can look at the shortstops, the third baseman. You got Manny Machado. That's maybe the best shortstop in the NFL. NFL, wow. the NFL. Maybe the best shortstop in the MLB. He's a... Just a great infield market, a great market this offseason.
I mean, Daniel Murphy, this guy hasn't hit under 280 since 2009.
Yeah. The guy led you guys to a World Series, too. That guy was your best player.
I get it.
We went on his back, and he took us right into the World Series that season.
I get it. He's not 26 years old like Machado and Harper, our future Hall of Famers, just entering their prime right now. But I think Murphy's 33 years old, but still at least three good years left. I mean, he should be a guy that's talked about more and a guy that I think the Yankees and other teams in need of an infielder should look at.
Yeah, if the Yankees aren't able to lock up maybe Machado, if they're not able to get Machado, even if they are able to get Machado, I think Murphy's a great player that I really want on the Yanks. He's a clutch hitter, hits to all fields, 300 hitter. The Yankees don't have a lot of that.
And you know,
it's a lot. It's a lot of home runs, a lot of power. I want a guy that can hit the ball. I was about to say the football. Can hit the baseball into the outfield. And maybe Marwin Gonzalez as well. Another guy, versatile, can play the infield, all positions, and the outfield. That's a guy that I would look into for a cheap play for the Yankees this offseason. But obviously, all eyes are on Machado and Harper.
Yeah, I think the Yankees need a guy like Daniel Murphy to set the table like that. Because you get a guy that goes out there, sets the table, then you get the three and four hitters, Judge and Stanton, hit the home run, add on to their RBI totals. I just love what they could do if they can get a table setter like Daniel Murphy.
I want that lefty Bryce Harper in Yankee Stadium, though. Yep. And the thing that's not being talked about a lot with the Yankees, or it has been talked about recently by guys like Michael Kay, the Yanks don't know about Didi Gregorius. I mean, initially it said he'd come back June.
I heard it
could be July or not the whole year.
Tommy John, right?
He'll be back by at least August, I think. But
yeah, Tommy John.
Well, the problem
we'll see what happens. It's definitely a big hole to fill. That's your starting shortstop and a guy that's really turned into a star.
Your number three hitter.
Of course.
And the Mets had DJ Rivera had Tommy John surgery. He's been out for a year and a half, so you never know what can happen. He could have complications along the way.
I miss DJ Rivera.
I know, so do I. He's a stud.
He's a great player.
But I feel like, honestly, it's scary to see. Like, the Yankees seem to just get better every year. And you look at that lineup, they honestly have an all-star lineup that every single one of those guys can make it as the starting all-star players. It's really scary to think about. And it's annoying because the Yankees just have all this money and the Mets just have... So, you know, you have to sit on the other side of the aisle and say, well, we're gonna be just looking in the postseason this year and saying, well, we got to hope the Yankees lose again. And hopefully that happens. But... you know what? The Mets are they're trying to make moves, and we'll get to that eventually. But
yeah, the Mets GM was actually on MLB Network, had a great interview.
It was. I saw the tail end of it this
morning. I love what he's doing. I love all the talk, whatever. Even if the Syndergaard deal doesn't get done, which I kind of hope it doesn't. I love Syndergaard with the Mets. But even if he doesn't get this deal done, just the hype he's creating. He already made a blockbuster deal, too. So I love what he's doing already in only a few months' tenure. So
yeah, the Mets lineup looks pretty solid. Obviously, there's one
position.
It's
the health concern that's the position. And catcher, of course.
Yeah, position that you circle in that
lineup.
But
catcher's going to get solved. It probably is. That's the number one target right now.
Well, they have a lot of options, too. You've got JT Realmuto, who they're looking at. There's just so many rumors right now with the Yankees three-team trade that it's now gone. Now they're looking at the Padres to go for a three-team trade that would send Syndergaard to the Padres, and the Mets would get Realmuto.
I'd be much happier.
Just sign Grandel.
I'd be much happier sending Syndergaard to a not-Yankee team. Yeah, but I would also like to hang on to him, so I wouldn't mind signing a guy.
I'd like Wilson Ramos. He's a great offensive hitter, and he beats up the Mets. So I mean, I'm sure he could play well at Citi Field. But at this point, I just want anything but Realmuto because the Marlins are asking for way too much. They're really being stupid, and it's just a completely inside deal with the Yankees and Jeter, who's trying to say, "Hey, we'll give the Mets Realmuto, and we'll give you Syndergaard."
Yeah, the Yankees have 1.5 owners in the.
They really do.
Hey, he doesn't need to be doing the Mets any favors. That's all I'm saying.
He's not doing the Mets any favors.
He's
by
doing
giving the
Yankees more favors than the Marlins. So.
Yeah, but with Ramos, it's health issues, I think.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
That's the only issue. He's a little bit overweight, too.
Yeah.
You got to be careful if you're going to sign him to a big deal. That's why I'm liking Luke Roy for the Mets.
They looked at him a few years ago.
When they got Jay Bruce. They were looking for Luke Roy, too. Maybe a couple of years later, they slot him in at that catcher spot. He's a veteran presence, good hitter, great fielder, can command your rotation pretty well. So we'll see what happens with the Mets catching situation. What do we got there? We got Andrew McCutchen. Hefty price.
It is a very
good
hefty
for him.
Price.
That was such
good
a low
him,
key
though.
Signing.
Yeah,
right?
It really like, is. Like, everyone's like, kind
like
of
I got it, like,
it.
Like I was like looking at my phone. I saw all the alerts, all the NFL stuff, and then boom, at the bottom of the screen, I saw an ex MVP signed in the. In the MLB, and I was like, whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah, we kind of just look at that, and we're like, yeah, wow, the Phillies got McCutchen. But, I mean, if this was the Phillies signing the Pirates, Andrew McCutchen, you've definitely got a bigger deal here. But I think the Phillies are really, they're going for it. And I think signing McCutchen, it's just a big deal. A guy like that can bring a really big veteran presence to that clubhouse, and now he can grow his hair back.
You know what? It's a lot of money for a veteran leader. He's great at getting on base at the top of your lineup. He'll put in a couple hits as well. He's got a nice average, has a little bit of pop. And his fielding was interesting watching him in New York. He's not that flashy. He looks a little lethargic out there, but he makes the plays. He's got some speed, great base runner. I think it's a a good signing for the Phillies. Let's see what they do. They're in on Bryce Harper, too. So let's
still got a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Still got a lot of money.
Interesting topic here. If you're a guy with long hair and you get and you're in the final year of your contract, right? You get traded right before the trade deadline to the Yankees. And you know you're not going to re-sign with the Yankees, but you love your long hair, and it's really long. It's going to take years to grow back. Do you have to cut it?
Yes, you 100%. Do, no matter what, which is really stupid, which
that,
is why the Yankees
stinks.
Are very...
Well, you don't know you're not going to re-sign until you play for him.
But what if you know you're not going to re-sign? What if you have a deal? What if you're like, say, Paul George before the Oklahoma thing, before the Oklahoma City thing? I know he stayed, whatever. I'm just using his, as an example here. What if you're like that? You know you're not going to re-sign there, and you actually don't re-sign there? But you just cut your hair for no reason for like 2 months of baseball. Why would you do that?
It's the team policy.
Like it. I know
you
it's
have
the
no
team
choice.
Policy, but it stinks for the guy.
Plus, you look like an idiot with long hair on the field.
By the way, these people that have long hair, they look so dumb. Look, did you see DeGrom two years ago?
Hopkins, I know.
That guy looked like a girl on the field.
You're right.
His hair was down to his...
It was below his shoulders.
I mean, come on, dude. You look like a loser. I mean, cut your hair. Figure it out. Girls don't want you to have that hair past your shoulders. When your hair is longer than a girl's hair, it just doesn't work. I don't think it looks great.
I don't love the look either.
I don't mind
a little bit of flow at the back. I'm okay with like a little bit of Dansby Swanson.
Are the Yankees okay with that?
I think they are.
Clint Frazier had it combed up a little bit in the back for
Dansby Swanson had that little flow too, and I like that. But when you have the hair that's like past your shoulders, like a DeGrom or maybe even a Syndergaard, you got to cut it if you're on the Yankees. It's a team policy. Do you want to win or not?
Big thing. What if the Yankees sign Harper? What's he going to do?
I've heard that debate many times on the Michael Kay show.
This guy grew up on the Mickey Mantle poster above his bed. I think he'd be fine shaving his beard.
He shaved his head. Harper's bald. He shaved his head off, so I wonder if that's maybe foreshadowing. But I wonder if he'd throw that in an incentive in the contract. If you give me the, I'll lower my price if you let me keep my hair. I wonder if he'd do that.
Yankees would never do it.
I know they would. That would be interesting.
I would do that.
I'm sure you would, but
I'm
I
sure you would.
Would.
The Yankees
you throw
would
in an extreme hypothetical.
I'll take $10 million off your deal, but you can keep your beard and your hair.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
I mean, Bryce Harper's an idiot, so he might actually do that. I don't know.
That's true. Let's not criticize the guy.
Bryce Harper, legit player.
He
is not a legit player. Whatever. He's an idiot, and he's not good at baseball. Next topic.
There's just one more quick thing. The Mets signing Jory Familia last night to the 3-year contract. I know you're happy about it.
I'm very happy about it.
I'm just waiting to see what he does.
He's a great relief pitcher. He's going to be good for us. I really like it. I loved Jarius while he was here until like the last season and a half when he was here. When he was our closer. He's not going to be our closer anymore now that we have Edwin Diaz. I like the signing a lot.
He's a failure by the Mets.
He's a guy who chokes under pressure, and now maybe putting him in that setup spot,
maybe
it helps
not
him
be
out.
As much pressure.
How do you sign a guy back if he chokes under pressure?
Because
you're
he chokes under
a
pressure
three-year,
as a closer.
$30 million deal
he's not
to be in your bullpen when there's other options. I mean, it must say a lot about...
Our bullpen is a mess,
with
Edmund Diaz.
I get what you're saying.
It's been so bad. I love... Familia has always been the one bright spot until he was really starting to choke under pressure and stuff. You take a little bit of that pressure away by making him a relief pitcher, not a closer. I love the signing.
I mean, I guess that they're comfortable with Familia, but they traded him away last year, so that's why I'm a little bit confused. Maybe the other options that are out there didn't want to go to the Mets. We have no idea what goes on at these winter meetings. They could have been talking to every single reliever before Familia and just weren't able to get a deal done. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Familia, usually a Mets favorite, was struggling a lot last year. Went to the A's, was pretty solid. I don't know. I think it's just a failure by the Mets. I think you
got
to bring in new guys.
He's got
figure
great
it out.
Stuff.
New culture.
I like him.
And you know what?
They could still get new guys.
Ottavino would have been the great, great signing for
that
you guys.
That guy can strike out Babe Ruth.
They're not done yet. You don't know. They might go out and sign Andrew Miller and Adam Ottavino and be done and not get a catcher.
Would that be incredible?
What I'd rather do is them sign Miller and Ottavino and then just leave Darno as a catcher and see if he can manage to not suck anymore.
Well, it's not the sucking part. It's the staying healthy part with
Darno.
That too. So that's always been the issue with him. He's always had a quote-unquote bright future with the Mets, but then he always gets hurt every year, whether it's his hand or whatever he's breaking now.
He's not a good enough fielder.
There's always something new for him. He's not a good fielder at all. I want a new catcher.
I
never liked Darno enough to begin with.
You can get Grandal for cheap, I think, and maybe sign those two pitchers as well.
Good talent.
So moving on to the topic of the week. We are kicking it off. Very first topic, going back into the food realm, because that always seems to get everyone excited. What is your favorite fast food restaurant? I have a lot, but definitely Chick-fil-A. You gotta give it up for Chick-fil-A. You go over there, you get the nice deluxe, the spicy deluxe, and it just makes my mouth water every time you think about it. I'm sorry for making everybody hungry.
I'm not hungry right now because I just came from my my favorite fast food joint, Chipotle.
Ooh.
Yeah, just came over there, me and Ben, got some Chipotle right after school. It was great.
Brian's throwing shade at his Dunkin' company.
Yeah, I don't consider that.
I was joking. If you ask me
favorite coffee shop, Starbucks is going down the drain. Dunkin' Donuts is on the go. Wait, Ryan's got something to say. What is that?
Ryan's joining the set.
This man, Benjamin, got Chipotle without me. You know I love Chipotle. You know that's my favorite restaurant.
Yeah, you were in school.
Can we just think about this? What classifies itself as fast food? Because when I think about fast food, McDonald's. I'm thinking drive-through, McDonald's, right, Burger King, Wendy's, drive-throughs,
Taco Bell. Those three?
No. It's anything that has a drive-through. I'm thinking like,
yeah, Chipotle qualifies. You know what? Go in there, it takes 2 seconds.
So if you want to get rid of Chipotle out of the conversation, I'm taking Wendy's.
No. Chipotle's
electric burgers at Wendy's.
No, Chipotle's totally my favorite fast food. If that fits into the category, but I'm thinking Taco Bell's pretty solid too.
It's good, but like I'll crave Taco Bell. I'll get Taco Bell, and then after I eat it, I say I don't want Taco Bell anymore.
Well, yeah, that's
and then
what happens.
Get it like a week after. So, you know, I feel like they're underwhelming sometimes. Their stuff, like, you'll just want it, and then
I don't think it's underwhelming. I think it's the Taco Bell effect that takes place in the bathroom.
Oh my goodness!
I think that's the problem.
That's really bad.
So the next one, we might move on. What is the funniest TV ad you've ever seen? So I have one that I actually saw like a few months ago on TV. You know how you see all those like weight loss commercials? I actually saw one for weight gaining. It said, if you want to gain weight, use this. And then it has people saying, I gained 30 pounds. I'm like, well, why would you want to gain 30 pounds unless you're like anorexic? So like, I thought it was very interesting because it was people who actually like went from being thin to like now they're fat. And I thought it was one of the weirdest ads I've ever seen.
Magic
Man,
Fridge.
This is a tough one.
Magic Fridge. It was a Super Bowl commercial a few years ago, Bud Light. Oh, you know what? No, not Magic Fridge. It's a different one. Dilly Dilly, the first ever Dilly Dilly commercial with the Pit of Misery. That's my favorite ever ad. I'm sorry. The Dilly Dilly stuff is great. It's their whole new campaign.
True.
I love what Bud Light does with that. But the Magic Fridge commercial, I'll still describe it because I left you guys on a little bit of a cliffhanger there. So there were these guys in a it was a Super Bowl commercial, so it was a lot of money. They were around a table right next to a fridge, and they opened the fridge because they were hungry and there was nothing in there. And then they turned around, and the fridge would turn around because they were on the because people on the other side wanted something in there. And whenever the fridge turned around, they'd look back and they'd open it, and it would be filled with Bud Light. And then they get down, they start bowing to it, Magic Fridge, whatever, be there a moment. Great commercial.
Bud Light's unreal.
My favorite commercial. As a company.
Their public relations department is outstanding. They should get a raise.
Good save, Doug.
Sorry, I didn't. Yeah, I've said a few things today that that I've had to clarify. I'm sorry.
I'm going back a few years. Geico. Got my boy Icky Woods. Get some cold cuts.
I was going to say that too.
It's a great commercial.
That's a classic.
It's amazing.
That's a classic. Yeah.
Get some cold cuts.
Funniest commercial. I mean, this is really difficult. There's obviously some great sport commercials that have been out recently, but I'm going to go to an NFL. I believe it was an NFL commercial, and it's with the song "You Had a Bad Day," and it's just it's just showing the records of all the teams.
Yeah, the steel curtain.
Yeah, the steel curtain's like 4-10 or something in there, and the guy's in the shower and his head. He's just letting the water pound against his face, and it's just like a funny commercial because we can relate to that, you know.
I can relate to that.
I know you can.
Ben can relate to that.
That's a fantasy commercial.
No, it wasn't a fantasy. That was a football commercial.
I don't know what it was, but it's a relatable commercial, not just with the NFL, but with sports in general. You know, when you have that bad day and you're like, oh my, I can't win anything. I need this day to end. This week is awful. Let's move on. So that was just one of my favorite commercials.
Okay, so we have one more. What is your favorite or dream car? I've had this dream for a few years to always be driving around that like beautiful 2015 white Corvette. I love that new sporty look of the Corvette, and they just keep making it looking better every single year. And I know everybody has their dream car that they think of.
Nah,
I'm really not a big car guy. I mean, drive a nice Tesla around. I don't know. Nice.
Teslas are pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Good mileage.
How about a 2017 Ford Fusion?
Ooh, that's
good.
How about a
2018 Honda Clarity?
Nice.
It's good cars.
We're all just saying our car. My dream car for real though is a if you've seen Transformers, it's Bumblebee.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, the yellow Camaro. Enough. Love that car.
Yeah, so. I don't really have a favorite car. My sister's her dream car is probably the G-Wagon or I think it's is it BM? No, what is it?
Girls love Volkswagens.
No, I think it's a BMW. What does Kayla have?
BMW.
Yeah, it's one of those like BMW C whatever, you know, one of those or that G-Wagon. She's in love with the G-Wagon, but I mean, I don't really have anything. I mean, I love a Jeep. Jeeps are nice to me.
A nice Jeep.
I like the way it drives, so I love my car, so that's how it goes.
Would we like to do one more? Let's just do it.
Why not?
All right. Give me one more.
That was a good one.
What is your favorite non-basic pizza flavor? So let's go extravagant here. Other than buffalo chicken, because everybody loves that. We know everybody loves that.
Don't tell him to change his answer. This guy,
hey, if he loves buffalo chicken, he loves buffalo chicken.
I'm sorry,
chicken.
Ben.
Let's go. Talk about how much you love buffalo chicken first.
I like buffalo chicken pizza. Because it's good. And a nice little slice from Mescala. Maybe a nice little barbecue chicken slice. I mean, that's pretty extravagant right there. It's not like normal topping.
I was just trying to go like more things that like no one's ever heard
of before. Pineapple. Okay. Like, pineapple and...
Ew.
Well, like strawberries on pizza? Like, that's not a thing. Like, no one's ever heard of that.
I meant like Caesar salad pizza's pretty good.
Oh, I
mean, that's weak.
Mike, you go.
Next.
I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No. You're okay with your buffalo chicken pizza. Yeah. I agree with you.
Buffalo chicken pizza's great.
Brian, is it really that extravagant, mine? I mean, bacon on pizza. It's a classic combo.
I've actually never had that before.
It's classic.
There it is. Then it sounds extravagant. Guess what? Get it from Domino's. It's classic. Bacon on pizza.
I've got to say, I really like that buffalo chicken pizza as well. So I'm going to go with you, Ben.
Thanks, Mike.
So he's bashing the buffalo chicken.
I wasn't bashing it. You were bashing the idea of it.
So
I was just afraid that everyone's going to say the same thing.
He hops on the bandwagon. We see how it is, Garofa.
Okay, obviously I love buffalo chicken slices. I do love a great margarita, especially from Rose's Pizza.
All right, again, Rose's, greatest margarita pizza. All right, Doug? Margarita pizza. You gotta catch yourself, all
right? Yeah, but come on, but it
hit me in the ears. It didn't come off so great.
Doug, is there something you want to talk about?
We're talking about pizza, okay? So a nice margarita
there it is.
From Rose's Pizza's great. But something that I had today, maybe not my favorite, but definitely opened up my eyes. Probably get it if I go there every time.
Big Daddy's?
No, Mario's The Boon. So it's so it's pretty much bacon, chicken bacon ranch, but you replace the ranch with Thousand Island dressing. Thousand Island dressing.
The Boon is...
It is.
It's something special.
It is legit.
Is it better than Aaron Boone?
Probably.
Probably. Anybody's better than Aaron Boone to this point in his managerial career. What a disaster. You already know I went on my little rant at the end of the year, but I'm going to give the guy a second shot.
We'll see what happens.
You know what? The Boon. Great pizza.
Yeah, okay.
Great pizza. Great
and a great podcast.
Great podcast today, Mike. There we go. And as always, we'd like to thank the following people. Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapato, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday. And finally, a very special thank you to the class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. Thank you, Constantine and Ryan, for joining us today, alongside our always reliable producer, Mikey Stats, Doug Satuka, Brian Flatow. I'm Ben Dixon. We will see you next week.